الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه وموالاه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We have with us now hadith number 5. So who would read it for us, please?
Assalamu alaikum.
Rahmatullah.
Narrated Abu Huraira, Allah Apostle sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You should not pass urine in the stagnant water which is not flowing. You may need it. Wash in it." From Muslim, Abu Huraira reported that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "None of you must wash in the stagnant water when he is in the state of junub, sexual defilement."
Sexual defilement or sexual impurity. Okay. Jazakallah khair. The hadith of Abu Huraira is referring to stagnant water, water that is not flowing, as in the case of rivers and streams. And there is the instruction of the Prophet not to urinate and then wash from it. And also there is the prohibition of the Prophet ﷺ not to bathe in it while in the state of sexual impurity. Why is that? Well, simply scholars say that because this makes the water impure, or at least it would make it dirty so that people after you would not be able to use it. And this leads us to the issue of what type of water to use when we would like to purify ourselves. Now, the scholars said, and they have differed in this regard, they said that the waters are divided into three types: tahur, which is possible to uplift the impurity with it and also to wash the impurity with it; tahir, which is a lower degree, which is pure in itself but it cannot uplift the purity of a person, you cannot make wudu with it, but it's pure; and the third category, which is najis, impure, that does not uplift any impurity and cannot clean or remove any impurity because itself is rendered as impure. Scholars, meaning the majority, this is what they believe. But the most authentic opinion is that water is one of two, either tahur or najis. There isn't something in between. And the scholars objected. They said, "We're the majority. How do you dare say such a thing?" We said, "With all due respect to you scholars, Allah described the water in the Quran as tahur. So how can we introduce something in the middle?" He said, "I'll give you an example. If I have a pot of water and I throw into it tea and I turn it over, what is this? This is tahir. It's not najis. But can I perform wudu with it?" I said, "No, Sheikh, you cannot." Then say, "See?" I said, "With all due respect, Sheikh, but there is a small problem." "What's the problem?" "Sheikh, this is not water. This is tea. So we're talking about water. Water is either tahir or najis. So if I have water that has tea in it, this is tea, not water. If I have a pot of water and I put some flour in it, or I put some sand in it, and I turn it as much as I can, what is this? Water with sand. Water with some flour in it. It did not change. It's still called water. So I can offer wudu and I can clean dirty or impure things with it. Likewise, if it rains and I see a pool of water, I go, it's muddy. Can I perform wudu from that? Yes, it changed. The color is yellow. And I cannot drink it." "Yes, you cannot drink it, but it is considered to be water. It's not like the tea we mentioned earlier." So The most authentic opinion is that water is divided into two, either pure or impure, tahir or najis. And the Prophet is indicating to us stagnant water, which made scholars talk about the quantity of water that can be considered impure if an impurity falls in it, or pure if not. And they have differed so hugely and greatly. If you open the books of fiqh of the Shafi'i, of the Hanafi, of the Hanbali, of the Maliki, I would be lost. They're saying it should be 10 armfold by 10, and they did not speak about the depth, and they did not speak about this and that. Why? Because there are a number of hadith that govern this. Hadith number one, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the water, if it reaches the size of two qullah, two pots, it does not carry any impurity. Which means, if it's less than two pots, then it carries impurity. So scholars started thinking and calculating, what is the meaning of two pots? This big, how big are they? And they could not reach a conclusion, because there isn't anything to find out. There is no hadith that clearly states this up. And they differed, yet the most authentic opinion, and I'll give you this in a nutshell. The most authentic opinion is that water is pure. The Prophet says in the authentic hadith, water is pure and nothing renders it as impure. This hadith was reported by Abu Dawood and at-Tirmidhi in the Sunan. The water is pure and nothing renders it to be impure. So, is this hadith by itself sufficient? No, because I can simply bring some urine and put it in. Huh? Is this pure? Definitely not. Why? You just said the hadith, water is pure and nothing renders it or makes it or changes it into impurity. So why are you changing your mind? I'm not changing my mind. When you study hadith, when you study fiqh, you have to study the whole picture. Don't take what you like and turn a blind eye to the things you do not like. A student of knowledge does not take one verse, khalas, this is the verse. This is what Khawarij did. This is all the deviant sects had done. They take one part, and this is it. We follow that. Okay, what about the rest? No, no, we care less. We care less about it. This is wrong. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, in another hadith, said that water is pure unless changed by an impurity that affected its taste, its color, or its smell. However, this hadith is weak. Sheikh, as long as it's weak, why are you saying it? I'm saying it because the consensus of all scholars of Islam that this rule is to be applied. Huh? Consensus? Yes. The consensus of all scholars, no one differed. And the scholars say that the evidences of Islam are taken from Quran, Sunnah, Ijma'. Ijma' meaning consensus. And that is mentioned in Surah An-Nisa, that whoever disobeys the Prophet ﷺ and follows a path other than the path of the believers, then he will be thrown into hell. And this is one of the evidences of Ijma'. So, scholars all agree that this water is pure unless one of the three characteristics change with, and this is underlined, one of the three characteristics change with what? An impurity. Why is so important to underline? Because I can turn the tap water and I have pig iron pipes, and the water that comes down rusty. So the water is yellow. Can I make wudu? One says, no, Haram. MashaAllah. When did you come? Today I'm a student of knowledge. MashaAllah. Nice to meet you. Why is it haram? He said, yes, the color has changed. And this makes it impure. Ya akhi, sit down. Or sit down. Go and learn. Why? We said that the scholars underlined this and said, if the three characteristics, what are they? Smell, taste, and color. If one of these three characteristics changed with an impurity, with an najasa, with urine, with defecation, with blood, and in this case, we rendered this to be impure. Whether the quantity is this big or the quantity is this big. So the quantity does not make any difference to us. Two pots, five pots, a swimming pool, no problem. Even if it's a swimming pool, yes. How many children go in the swimming pool and in the swimming pool say, what is he doing? I know what he's doing. Okay, can I make wudu in that swimming pool? Huh? Sheikh, can I make wudu in that swimming pool?
No.
No. Why?
Because the impurity has been mixed with that water.
Mumtaz, who agrees? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Almost the majority. Who disagrees? 1, 2. So we have two faqih. We have two people who understood the lesson. Again, I'll repeat. We said that the water can only be considered impure if the three characteristics change with an impurity. The boy who urinated in the swimming pool, can you see the color changing? Can you smell? Can you taste? It's so big, it immediately dissolves. So the water is pure, I can make wudu. It is extremely important to know how we reach this conclusion. Because once you understand it, khalas. Any doubt? Yes.
Sheikh, the doubt is the word impurity is not mentioned in the hadith, although it's weak. The word impurity is not mentioned there.
In the hadith, the hadith is to tell you, as we've said, it is not authentic. It's weak, but the consensus of the scholars of accepting it and the consensus of the scholars that it should be changed by an impurity. And that is why if it's almost impossible to find water that did not change the three colors in nature. In ponds, in lakes, usually there's a difference. The taste is different. If you taste the Nile water, you'll find it different than a lake, for example, in here or there. But this taste, color, or smell was not changed by impurity. And this is the determining factor. Once one of these characteristics changed by an impurity, it becomes najis. Whether it's a big pond or a small glass of water. So I hope this answers the question. We have a break. After a break, inshallah, we'll continue to take your questions. So stay tuned.